Hi, welcome to Gina's Table. I am so glad that you joined us this week. I hope that you've grabbed your favorite drink, tea, coffee, or your drink of choice, and are ready to meet me at the table as we dive into this week looking at the importance of community. Now, I wish that we were actually at the table together and that you could tell me about your week and how things are going, that you could tell me about your family and we could talk about the weather. And aren't we all glad that spring has sprung? Now here in Kansas, that doesn't necessarily mean that it's warm. It just means that the seasons actually changed over to spring and we'll have a few cold days splattered here and there, which is what this week has been. But I am thankful that spring has sprung and I can't wait for a little warmer weather and all the things that come with spring. New flowers, new life, all of the exciting bright colors. Winter fades away and we start to see trees with new buds and new life. I love that my mornings are filled with birds chirping and it's just an exciting new season. I am a big fan of spring. So I hope that this week, as spring has sprung, you have experienced a little bit of seasons changing. Today, we're going to talk a little bit more about why is it so important that we all need community. Now, first, I want to remind you that Gina's Table, one of the main things, the passion that I'm feeling is that we need less screens and less stages and platforms and more around the table. This week, as I've been researching and diving into different things, I have found that this awakening in our culture to the need for more community isn't something new to me or you. I'm just one of many voices that are raising the red flag and saying something needs to be done. A very popular author and speaker, Brené Brown, this week launched her new podcast series. And her first guest is a psychologist by the name of Esther Perel. And she talks about the effects of AI, and AI, in her terms, is artificial intimacy. Wow, I have thought a lot about that since I read this quote. Her quote is that we have 1,000 friends on social, but we don't have a single person who can feed our cat for us. Now, if you know I don't have a cat. But is it true that we have thousands of connections? I don't have anyone we really can ask to do those things that we may need in our life. Artificial intimacy. That sounds like something I can get behind and see and feel and experience in our world today. That we have a lot of artificial relationships out there, very surface relationships. In my context as a pastor over the last 25 years, I know that there have been times that I was pretty confident that I was doing well at connecting people to live in authentic community, that I was connecting people to people and they were actually diving deep. There was accountability, there was doing life together. It wasn't something simply that they met together once a week and then they never thought of each other again, but it was something deeper. But I also know that there were times where I think what we were doing was just getting together and never going deep. You didn't think about that group of people after you left. You didn't wonder what was going on in their life. You didn't ask the tough questions. There lacked this intimacy of really being in community. And that is what frightens me today, because I think there's a lot of us that have relationships that lack that intimacy for us to really know and be known. I found it interesting in my research. Often this number is called the Dunbar number, is that we can maintain 150 relationships. Now, why is it called the Dunbar number? Well, that is a British anthropologist, Robin Dunbar, who found that according to our brain and how we're wired, that we can actually maintain up to 150 relationships. That seems unbelievable to me, other than having pastor churches, knowing that that is probably a good number. You can keep up with about 150 people. Now, when you think about keeping up with 150 people, though, you're not going deep with 150 people. You're not really knowing every detail of the life. You may know surface levels, but how do we go deeper than just maintaining 150 relationships? My guess is you're not going to throw a dinner party and have 150 people over for dinner. That would be, for one, you would have to have a really big house, right? And even then, you wouldn't be able to talk to each person other than, hi, how are you? Fine, great. And how's your week? Okay, right? So how is it that we go deeper in our relationships? And here's the reality. For many of us, we may know 150 people, and we still are extremely lonely. We're extremely lonely. One thing that I noticed about relationships is far too often they become transactional. We are friends as long as there is a value, or we're getting something, or we get something from the relationship, or we are giving something to the relationship. And when that shifts or changes, the relationships tend to change as well. And let me be clear, this isn't always a bad thing, but it can be painful and it can be confusing. Community is something all of us need. Transactional relationships are difficult. I have found too often in my own circles and in my own line of work that relationships are transactional, and I'm guilty of that. I am guilty of that. That when you are a pastor, you have relationship with people until you're no longer there. There's not a need for you, or something shifts or something changes and you go away, or they go away, right? And that relationship is no more. And while, again, that's not always bad, it is painful and it is confusing. And far too often, I think in our relationships, we let this transaction, these transactionals, like we're friends because this is happening or this is going on. But I wonder what would happen if we could work through that and go deeper. That when that shift happens, which will happen in every relationship, we don't abort, we don't leave, but we stay in it and we do the hard work. Again, relationships are tricky. I know this, I have experienced it on many levels. I think Jesus is a great example for us when it comes to relationships. I can't deny who I am and what I've done and how Jesus has changed me. But when Jesus did his ministry here on earth, he fed 5,000 people. He healed hundreds of people. He did 36 miracles, I believe, or what is put in the Bible. But he chose a circle of 12 that he really poured into these 12. He was around the table with them. What I love about Jesus is so much of his ministry is done around the table. When he is ready to teach a lesson, he does it around food and the table. And that is something I can get behind. And so he had this 12 that he was so close to and he was investing in and that he loved and that knew him well. But then he broke that down again and he had three. He had three that he really went deep with, that he was very real with and very authentic. Not that he wasn't real and authentic in the 12, but these were even closer. And I just wonder if you and I could identify the 12 and the three in our life. Do you have three people in your life that you are in an intimate relationship with? That you share all the things that are going on, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Maybe you could answer that question. Who is at your table? Who is at your table? You know, my table for so many years was full of my family, right? We had four kids and there was never a dull moment. And then we would have small groups and our close friends over and we'd play games. And so I just think about how the people who have been around my table, those who are still around my table, and those who I wish were still around my table. I have had number of conversations over the last couple of weeks of people who are lonely. It's heartbreaking. And as I said in that very first podcast, if you remember, this isn't a one generation problem. This is across all generations. And I think about the conversations that I've had of people who are lonely, This is 20-somethings and 50-somethings and 80-somethings who are desperate for people that they can do life with, whatever that looks like. Because let's face it, all of us are in different seasons of life, and we have friends in those seasons who tend to be in the same seasons, right? But this is a real struggle that people are facing today, and that is the need for intimacy, the need for people to be in community with them. I came across a lady on Instagram by the name of Jess, and she started a movement called Dinner with Strangers. And she simply sets up dinners for people who don't know each other and don't know her. I love this. And the rules are you can't talk about work. And she has pointed questions that get people talking about deeper things about themselves. Far too often we talk about our work instead of who we are. Because our identity is wrapped up so much in what we do. And I can tell you that that is a very real thing. Now that I am kind of not doing what I've been doing for 25 years, I am rediscovering my identity and who I am. And if I can't talk about that, who am I? And so what would happen if we started doing dinners with strangers? I love this. Chances are that you come in contact with people every day or every other day or sometime throughout your week who are desperate for community. Maybe it's you. Maybe you're the one that's desperate for community. I really do wish that we could all be around my table and that we could move from screens and tables in tangible ways. That really is the cry of Gina's table. I'm not wanting to build my table to hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people, my physical table. But I want you to be able, through the screen, to be able to build a table where people, including yourself, find community. I want to encourage you and ask you to think about who should be around your table. And I just want you to understand, we were not created to live alone. And I know that I can come across pretty strong in this because I'm an extrovert, right? And so extroverts, of course, need people and introverts do not, except that's not true. Introverts still need community. It looks different in how that plays out, but we all need people who can be around our table, who can be a voice when we need it, who can help you with your cat or your dog or pick up your mail or whatever it is, right? I was reminded this week that 4 years ago, our world shut down. A global pandemic broke out across the world, and we were ordered to stay at home. And I think as I remember that, although being a leader during that time was brutal, I think all of us at first thought, well, this is nice, right? Our schedules are all of a sudden clear. Everybody's schedule is clear. And we had this pause that I think we all need because we live in such a fast-paced world. But then as it moved on, it kept going. It began to change us. And I think that change has fundamentally changed us forever. Think about this. In the last 4 years, more people work from home than before. That means that there's less people going into an office where you have water cooler conversations, or you go out after work, or you grab lunch together, and you have these conversations that were happening outside of, I'm just talking about work, and we were having face-to-face. Now we're all at home. Our lives significantly changed. Our culture significantly changed. You now can get everything on your phone, where before, if you were sick or you had something come up, when I think of, like, again, in my context of church, you could watch it online. Now more and more people watch online because they can, and we got used to that. And we gave up that face-to-face time, that intimacy that we needed. So it's just a lot has changed. A lot has changed. And today, as I think about the last 4 years, there's a lot I would change. There's a lot of things that happened during a global pandemic around community and people that if I could go back and redo, I would. And maybe that's how some of you are too. You think about that time and how it just seemed to be one of those very dividing times as well. And we lost relationships, or relationships shifted and maybe you've never been the same. But today, as I move forward, I know I can't change the brokenness of lost community in the past. As I already said, I didn't always get that right. But today, I can do my best to move forward and create better community, because we absolutely need each other. We absolutely need each other. As some of you know, back last spring, it's almost been a year, Jason and I moved to an apartment. Now, we had not lived in an apartment since we were 18 and 19 when we first got married. I moved to an apartment kicking and screaming. I felt like this was a step back. I didn't want to live in an apartment. I didn't want to give up living in a house, all of those things. But because the housing market is crazy and we really weren't sure where we were gonna land, we decided that we would move to an apartment. And so we ended up here in Lenexa at this boutique style apartment. And let me just tell you what a joy it has been to find people and community that I have invited to my table and been invited to their table. Walking life together while understanding our differences. Where I would say that I came here not expecting much in the way of relationship, I have found it to be rich. And hopefully in the near future, I'm going to have some from my book club that we have here once a month join me as we talk about some books and our reviews and all the fun things about having a book club. But let me just tell you that when we open up ourselves to find people, we will. We'll have to risk something. We'll have to be vulnerable. We'll have to be able to say, you know, this may not be what I think it will be, or I may not be who they think I am, but I want to get past the barriers to be in community with those that I live with, those that I see every day. I also read a quote this week, be the reason that someone loves Jesus or sees Jesus, and not the reason that people hate Christians. And I have really thought long and hard about that. And I am positive that there are people who would say they don't necessarily want to go to church because of things that I've done. And I'm sorry for that. There are also those who I absolutely know love Jesus and see Jesus because of my life. So what if we all together decided we want to be the reason people see Jesus? That we're kind, we're considerate, we want to do life with people right where they are. Find your people, find your place. Who's at your table? You need community. We need community. I have some really exciting things coming in April. Tuesdays are going to be Table Talk Tuesdays. And I am going to be posting every Tuesday some conversation starters for you to invite people to your table. Maybe it's people who are already at your table. Maybe it is people that you wish were at your table. But I want to help you be able to invite people in so that you can have a table full of people and that we begin to facilitate people finding community. Next week on the podcast, I'm going to talk about what Easter means to me. And I'm pretty excited about that as we just dive into spring and Holy Week next week. So again, thank you for being at the table today. Here's the thing. I appreciate all of you, and I can't wait to see where we go in the future. Let me know if you're starting a table and what good things are happening out of that. If you haven't already, make sure that you go to the social media pages and like and follow and subscribe. We are on all platforms where you can listen to podcasts, and we are in the middle of redoing the website, and so it should hopefully be up and running in the next couple of weeks. Again, thank you for being at the table, and I hope that you have a great day and find your place, because here is a place for you.